What's up, everybody? My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy hump day, everybody. I've got a really special guest with us, coming to us from Washington, D.C., talking to us about the SAVE Act, which has this really the acronym sounds good, the SAVE Act, and it stands for Safeguard American Voter Eligibility. I love it when legislation has these really appealing-sounding names. This gentleman's name, my next guest, his name is Brian Lamack. He's the executive director of an organization called Defend the Vote. Here with me today to explain potentially millions of people being disenfranchised, losing the ability to vote because of this innocuous sounding SAVE Act, specifically including tens of millions of married women. Do you know any married women if you're listening? You might know one or two. Did those married women change their names after they got married? Yeah, it might be a big problem for them to continue to be able to vote under the SAVE Act. Welcome to the show, Brian. Really appreciate you making time.
That means a lot. Thank you.
Tell us what the SAVE Act is all about.
You know, the simplest way to say it is it's a massive voter suppression bill, right? So the SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. It's going to prevent tens of millions, as you mentioned, eligible American citizens from voting, and it's going to cost taxpayers billions of dollars. So just a quick rundown. There are unnecessary burdens put on the voters to verify their citizenship when registering. That's kind of like the overlay of this. That's the big problem. And what that means is the driver's license that you would typically use to register to vote. You go to your voting center, you use your driver's license. I am Brian Lemick. I live in this particular address. It's not enough anymore. Now you need a passport or a certified birth certificate, and you have to present it in person. Now, 21 million Americans don't have the aggregated materials, right? Never mind the 146 million Americans that don't have a passport. So the story that I've been telling is, I think about my stepmother, right? So she was born, she's one of seven, youngest of seven girls. Now, her parents, not that they didn't lack imagination, right? But after 2 days and six daughters already, they didn't quite have a name for her yet. So she leaves the hospital as baby girl Sabella. That is her name on her birth certificate. And that has been nothing but difficult for her the rest of her life. So she figures it out. She gets her driver's license, figures out the name, all this stuff. Marries my father. So now her birth certificate is baby girl Sabella. Her license says Gail Lemick. She's never left the country. Maggie, like a lot of Americans, she doesn't have a passport. So she doesn't have a passport. Her license doesn't match a birth certificate, and she can't prove her citizenship. So this person who is 70 years old, who's voted in every election since she was 18, who just recently moved, which is why it really matters because she has to re-register, she, under this law, can vote. And she and tens of million other Americans are going to face the same issue. Now think about this too. Like, again, in Wisconsin, just like everywhere across the world, like not everybody is traveling, and there is a shocking number of Americans that don't have passports, right? So 146 million don't. Now it's $130 per passport. $19 billion to register and get these passports and get the necessary documentation. Now, Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. That would cost $650 million for Wisconsin folks from Wisconsin to get the necessary documentation, right? Now, again, this is re-registering. So this is if you move, you change your name, you switch your parties. I can move across the street. I got to go through the whole damn process again. So who's at risk here? The military, Native Americans, because tribal IDs don't work, right? Black voters, rural voters, low-income voters, right? I moved when I was a kid. I moved 11 times. My mom could have given a damn about getting her passport because she's worried about gas in the tank, oil in the tank in our home. She's worried about food on the table. So if you have to prioritize your vote versus those essentials items, which everybody needs to have, right? You're disenfranchising the vast number of people in the population that actually need to vote. They need their voices heard, Maggie.
Yeah, Brian, this is the thing that I think is most insidious about this, is that it has the veneer of neutrality, right? And this is the typical game plan, battle approach of the new MAGA movement, which is that it will have a veneer of reasonableness, it will have a veneer of neutrality. But the reality is, and again, I talk on the show all the time about, hey, how do you know an elected official is actually decent at their job? Look at the actual impact of the legislation that they champion and introduce and support. And here, again, all Republicans are worried about is giving the veneer of reasonableness and the veneer of neutrality, when every single one of them, including the people that have introduced this bill, know damn well that the people who will not be able to vote will be overwhelmingly veterans, women, yeah, right? Poor people, because frankly, even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process unless you're able to, frankly, stop what you're doing, drive down to a federal office, expend the additional hundreds of dollars to expedite getting a passport. Otherwise, you can't vote. I want people to be so clear, and please, Brian, correct me if I get this wrong. If you do not have a passport, and you are a married woman who changed your name and your name on, that is, if you even have a birth certificate at home, first of all, bravo, I have no idea where mine is. But even if you have a passport at home and you have voted in every single election, if this is enacted, your birth certificate isn't enough. It looks to me, under my read of the legislation, that the only document that would work for a person in that circumstance is a passport,
correct,
which means unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote. And that is exactly the point. Let's be clear. This is about making it more likely than not that white, wealthy men are dominating our voting ranks in the next election cycle. Am I overstating the seriousness of the potential impact here, Brian?
No, absolutely not. In fact, you nailed it. I mean, this is, again, voter suppression at its finest. And what are we doing, Maggie? We are taking away the votes of those everyday Americans that need to be heard. Why? So that wealthy white billionaire corporations can placate, right? Their base can placate their shareholders so profits can be made. Why do they care about the rest of Americans? You know, why would they? Because their goal is to make money. Their goal is to preserve wealth. And so that's what they're doing. And they will be damned with everybody else. So,
well, that's the like, once if you understand who is going to be disenfranchised, then the question that I always want to ask is, to what goal? And I think, Brian, your articulation of the goal here is incredibly important. You want to suppress the voice of women and working people in this country, as well as Black and brown people. That's what it, and military vets, right? Native Americans, it is about suppressing those voices. Why would conservatives want to suppress the voices of Black and brown people, women, Native Americans, veterans? You know, go figure it out. That's not their target market. Well, why is that not their target market? You look at who controls the vast swaths of wealth, etc., which brings me back to my fundamental point. If someone wants to stand up and tell me, hey, I am all about improving our democratic process, I want to make sure it is a secure democratic process, and you want me to believe you, then what I should see from you are actions and legislation that are making it easier for regular people to vote, especially working class Americans. And poor folks, we need to hear more from working class Americans, less from billionaire overlords. They already have a voice. It's called political donations, which they do, at, you know, to the scale of billions of dollars. And this is doing, right? They're doing exactly the opposite of this. I also would challenge any Republican that's putting their name on this. Oh, you're about election security? Then explain to me why the guy that leads your party is defunding the very organization in our federal government, the cybersecurity infrastructure, CISA. It's the Cybersecurity Infrastructure something agency. It's the folks that actually make sure foreign governments aren't hacking into our election systems. He's defunding that agency and firing people by the hundreds. Tell me it's about election security.
But and even to go one more on top of that, Maggie, he's threatening right now to take over the FEC.
Yes.
So he wants to put out an executive order based on this fringe little legal theory that he has that claims the White House has the power over independent agencies. So that really would put him in control, and he would be the top cop, or in control of the top cop, maintaining power ahead of the 2026 election. So this is posturing. This is setting themselves up now for what many of us that work in especially House politics believe could be an opportunity to take back the House. They are posturing right now to prevent from doing that. And it makes me think about, and it makes me think, because two things, and something you said at the beginning, Maggie, which I really like, is this veneer. Right?
Yes.
You're right, that's what they do. And there are Republicans in Wisconsin, House members of Wisconsin, that use this language also, which is they talk about this as a bill to ensure that non-Americans can't vote. Well, look, we got some really good rules already and laws that ensure that, okay? So that's not what this is.
And Brian, that point deserves an incredible amount of emphasis, right? And by the way, the guy's name is Tom Tiffany. He's a Wisconsin congressman. He's one of the co-sponsors. Down with Tom Tiffany. You're about voter suppression and billionaire overlords. Shame on you, sir. By the way, the phrase, they're as fake as a set of Hollywood veneers, keeps popping into my head here. The idea that, again, any of this has to do with election security is just false. Brian, my statistics are telling me that 1.3 million women in Wisconsin do not have birth certificates. Can you go through the stats on the cost and the numbers of people in Wisconsin?
Yes, I can. Hang on 1 second. My mic was acting up. So just thinking about Wisconsin itself and how it's going to hurt the families, just one piece here. These voting restrictions are going to hurt Wisconsin families because these disenfranchised voters, they're going to lose their ability to shape policies. This is just going back to the point we made before, because I think it's such a home run. And also, let's not sleep on what's happening in Wisconsin 3 either, Maggie, right? Derek Van Orden is as responsible. He will vote for this. He is as responsible for taking away American votes as anyone else in Wisconsin, any other House members in Wisconsin. But we're thinking about the impact here on affordable housing. We're thinking about the impact in grocery prices, healthcare, and wages. This is wheelhouse for all Americans, Wisconsinites, everybody. This is something that we're focusing on, going back to my mom when I was a kid, moving all the time, right? Meanwhile, again, these wealthy donors, we just have to nail this point home, they're getting more influence over the policies. So you absolutely nailed it, right? You absolutely nailed it. So just thinking now about, all right, marriage certificates and things like that, other issues and the impact that it's going to have on Wisconsin. You know, we have to imagine that, again, 1.3 million women in Wisconsin, 1.3 million women in Wisconsin, 69 million nationwide, lack birth certificates that match their names. Match their names. Overlay that with the 45 million, or forgive me, however many million do not have their passports, 21 million don't have their passports, you're losing a tremendous amount, right? And we are going to see the women vote will impact these elections. So they're suppressing that vote, poof, right away. The Native American vote, again, there is a very large Native American population in Wisconsin. We all know that. Making it very difficult, already difficult for them to vote, making it even more difficult for them to vote, right? Stripping away, Maggie, the 501c4 efforts that occur to get registration to vote, stripping away the mail efforts that occur, right? Absolutely impossible. But where'd I go?
Yeah, that is Brian Lemick from Defend the Vote. We'll be right back with the Maggie Don Show on the Civic Media Network. Don't go away.